Josh Kennedy coming up shortly to preview the round in the AFL. Just this morning in the Champions League, it was some game in Spain. Real Madrid, two late goals, ensured a 2-1 win over Bayern Munich. So it looks like Bayern were headed through, and it would be an all-German final at Wembley against Borussia Dortmund until Joselu scored in the 88th minute, and then again in stoppage time. So Bayern put the ball in late too, and looked like an equaliser, but it was disallowed. So 2-1 Bayern Munich on the day, 4-3 on aggregate, and the Champions League final on June 2, 4:30 a.m. our time, will be between Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund at Wembley. Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund at Wembley. I'm just seeing, yes, and there's already a market up, a 90-minute market with Tab. Madrid are $1.55 favourites. And Borussia Dortmund are $5. The draw is paying $4.50 for that one on June 2. Well, tonight, Carlton and Melbourne at the MCG, 8th v 4th. One win separates them. They met in an epic semi-final last year, which Carlton won by 2 points, knocking the Demons out in straight sets. The Blues are getting Jack Martin and Mitch McGovern back. Jack Martin, by the way, is a free agent attracting interest. And the Blues are favourites to get Will Haywood, who was great for the Swans last week. G'day, Josh. How are you?
Morning, guys. Well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Great to chat again. Right. Gee, there's been some fallout from the Sydney Derby last Saturday afternoon. Really professional performance from the Swans to win that by 29 points. But I guess the big talking point was certainly the Callum Brown bump on Tom McCartan and him getting 3 weeks for it. What did you make of the incident overall?
Oh, look, I find it really, really hard at the moment to make much of it. Like, watching it in real time and in real speed, you know, the ball sort of bounces back on itself. They're both 50-50 chance to get the ball at one point. It bounces back to Tom McCartan and he runs through it. It's bloody hard to know, you know, what the MRO... Actually, it's not, because Tom McCartan gets knocked out and you know there's going to be weeks on the end of it. But I must admit, when I saw it in real time, I thought, gee, what is he meant to sort of do there apart from pull up and pull out of the contest and try and tackle? But a split second before that, it's a 50-50 contest. It just happens to be that the ball bounces on its end back to Tom. So it's a tough one at the moment. You know, I think there's guys getting rubbed out that 12 months ago certainly wouldn't. I'm not saying this is one, but maybe in certain other cases.
It's like that, Josh. Biddo and I actually spoke about it on the program the other night. As much as you hate seeing someone on the end of it, when you see an incident like that, you go, well, what's he supposed to do? And I think 3 weeks is very harsh. And in fact, I'd probably be okay if it was a 1 week suspension. Mm. But even then, it's on the higher side. But what are your thoughts around, and John Longmire spoke about this in a press conference earlier this week, about having that red card, the send-off rule. Would that work, and would you be open to a massive change to your game like that?
Yeah, I think it would work. I think it works in most other sports all around the world. If that was to happen in a grand final, for example, and you've got a player down and that player continues on and plays the rest of the game, I think it makes sense to change that rule and bring that in. But I'm not sure you can sort of stamp out a lot of these incidents without changing the fabric of the game, which is sort of my concern in the long run. That, you know, a lot of these are sort of football acts where it's literally a hundredth of a second decision that you've got to try and stop or pull out. So, you know, I'm not sure a red card or sending someone off during the game actually impacts the outcome of these contests. But I still think that there's not a bad rule to bring in, because what you want to eliminate is the unfootball acts and the dirty plays and you know, where there's malice in it, you know, and guys getting rubbed out, you know, for just for, for, for playing the game.
Yeah. Josh, where's the balance here? Because I think we're seeing it in a number of sports where the commentary, the media, the commentators are old school players. So there's this whole, you know, you're threatening the way the game's been played over so many years versus I don't think they're going to make a change here. I think the AFL has made a stand and they're not going to go backwards. So how does this balance somehow find middle ground?
Yeah, it's a good question, Clarkie. I'm not sure. I think on a whole, the game itself is like they've made rule changes and changed the game. Like it's changed. Whilst you could argue significantly, but
yeah,
at the same time, not that much. The elements of the game that are still so important, like the contest and pressure and all that sort of stuff, are still the main KPIs, so to speak. And I think the game itself is in a fantastic position. It's great to watch. It's fast. So, you know, I don't want to get too carried away in saying that it's ruining the game. But, I hope that, you know, we can find some middle ground there. I'm not sure how. I sort of agree with you that they've drawn a line in the sand and we're probably not going to come back. Maybe the players adjust and we sit back here in 12 months' time and or probably maybe a bit longer than that. It'll be interesting to see the suspension, how many players get suspended this year. I feel like it could be a record number, despite it being arguably cleaner than ever. But, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I hope it can sort of balance out and find some middle ground. And we still have the contest in the game. And there's obviously, because of that, there's going to be some incidents which are just unfortunate. But as a player, you understand that when you pull on the jersey and the boots.
So the Swans head west, a tricky match against Fremantle coming off that win against the Giants. But they're in good shape, aren't they, Josh, the Swans? I mean, they made everything the Giants did just look difficult last Saturday afternoon. They're going to have to do the same again against Fremantle. How does this play out?
Yeah, completely agree. Look, I think I was watching that game last week and, the Swans midfield at the moment is just so, so good and bats so deep. You know, I don't think they get enough recognition in the wider sort of AFL community how good that midfield is. Everyone talks about Port Adelaide's and Melbourne's, obviously, and Carlton's and Collingwood's. But I think the Swans is right up there, if not the number one in the comp at the moment. Not considering how deep they bat too. I mean, you've still got Parker out, ready to come back in. Callum Mills ready to come back in. It's just crazy how good that is. So I think they get the job done over there, albeit I think it'll be a tough contest, low scoring, the way Freo play. But I just think the class prevails in the end, the way that they're playing.
How do you reckon the Giants are going, Josh? I think they've lost two of their last three and they take on Essendon, who are playing some good, tough footy at the moment.
I think, you know, the Tom Green injury hurt them against the Swans. That's the big body in the midfield. And I think if he doesn't get up, they might struggle this week against the Bombers. It'll be a great game to watch. You know, both teams play a really fast, attacking brand of footy. Essendon, I think, are one of the top teams in scoring from stoppages. I think overall it'll be a high-scoring game. But I reckon the Bombers, you know, they just keep flying under the radar at the moment and keep notching up wins, and if they lose, they're only just losing. So it's certainly a game to watch. But as an outsider, I'm probably, you know, as a bit of a roughie, I wouldn't mind a bit of money on the Bombers.
Okay. What about this game tonight? What a humdinger. Carlton and Melbourne, they met in that epic semi-final last year. The market can barely split them. The Demons are slight favourites. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I think, this is a must-win for Carlton, I reckon. It'll make it three on the trot if they don't. And all of a sudden, the pressure starts mounting on a club like that. We know what their supporters can be like, both in good times and bad. So, must-win for Carlton. I think, Melbourne, credit to them last week, got the job done over Geelong. The big asset for them was obviously Max Gawn in the ruck, and we know Geelong, you know, are probably a little bit undersized in that area. Carlton, not so much, with Pittenet, Mark Pittenet, and their midfield stocks. You know, you've got Petrarca, Viney, Oliver, but then you've also got Cripps, Hewitt, Kennedy, and the likes there. So I reckon Carlton match Melbourne in the midfield, both in the ruck and on ground level. And therefore, I think that goes a long way to winning the game. I reckon they break the drought this tonight.
Should all the other sides be looking over their shoulders at Collingwood? They look like they've found their mojo.
They certainly do look like they found their mojo. They just got over the line last week, but you know, they did it in fantastic fashion. Probably should have won by a lot more. They just looked in control of that game sort of after quarter time. They've got their mojo back, that's for sure. And then you add Degoe back in the team. Tom Mitchell, was great to see. Lachie Sullivan, his first game. Just absolute credit to persistence and never giving up. Came on, kicked a goal with his first kick. Gee whiz, it was just electrifying. It just seemed electrifying in the stadium when that happened. 90,000 there.
Ever played a game with having a feed of Maccas before you ran out onto the field?
I haven't, no, but...
man's got to eat, Loz.
Yeah, we've had a few games. I know during the COVID era, we had a few guys pull out because they were close contacts before the game, and we had to call up a reserves player that had a night out the night before the game, which was actually known. It was known to the coach too, but we couldn't do anything about it. So that was Ben Ronk back in 2021, I think. So that was pretty funny. But
they make
for good stories. That's it.
It
I think you get the call up. It doesn't really matter. You put it behind you, and you're away. You go.
We've got our 30-year reunion of winning the 94 Premiership, and there was a story in the paper on the weekend about one of the players that didn't play on the day but was on the bench, about how he went out the night before and turned up at the game, six schooners, got a pass to go into the dressing shed to say good day to the boys and wish them the best. And the coach said, mate, your name's in the program. For a bit of experience, put the shirt on and run out with the team. So he runs out with the team through the tunnel, stands there for the national anthem. The boys that he's been on the drink with are looking down just going, how's this happening? And he was third up on stage to get his medal.
Yeah, good.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's funny, you know, those stories, that's what makes good memories, aren't they?
Most definitely.
Good on you, Josh. Thanks,
Ethan. Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the weekend.
Cheers, mate.
Well, the women's first State of Origin, first of three, is today week. Next Thursday night, Suncorp Stadium. The Maroons are the holders of the Shield, up against the New South Wales Sky Blues, coached by Kylie Hilder. Their squad was announced yesterday. The Maroon squad for Game 1 was named last week. And joining us now is the Queensland coach, Tani Morris. Tani, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning. Morning, guys.
Appreciate your time. And you've certainly had plenty of time to prepare for Origin. So how long have the girls been in camp for?
Oh, look, we had a camp last weekend just to tick the box on all the commercial requirements that we had needed to do. But, yeah, we go into camp tomorrow, and so we've got a week-long camp with them. But we've had an emerging squad for quite some time. Since February, we've had about 30 girls that have been on the radar that have been vying for selection. So it's been really good to have those girls playing in a local competition so we can select the girls for Origin.
Tani, the fact there's three games this season, which I think is fantastic and was certainly overdue, does anything change around preparation?
Oh, I think it's one of those things where we had to actually include 30 girls into the squad. It's the first time it's ever happened. So we need to make sure that, you know, the girls are ready to go if anything happens, because it's, like you said, it's the first game, first time we've had the three games. So we've got to allow for injuries, suspension we had last year with Julia Robinson. So, we've got to allow for that and make sure that there's girls that we can call on just in case anything happens in between those three games. Mm.
And, Tani, are you settled on your starting 17 out of that squad for game one?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been, you know, we've been pretty lucky. We've got four of the best ball players in the competition to actually load up with in Queensland. So it's just a matter of fitting them on the park. So that doesn't change from last year. It's no secret that, you know, Ali Brigginshaw, our captain, will go back into our lock position, and the halves will remain the same as what they were last year. So, yeah, we're lucky with that. We can actually put Ali in a couple of different roles, and, you know, she won't let anyone down there.
Yeah. Is that an advantage this year coming into the Origin now that your girls have been able to play a lot more football than the girls from New South Wales? Or how many of the girls from New South Wales have actually been playing up there in Queensland?
Yeah, they've had a few of them, haven't they? Yeah, look, I think it is. I think, you know, the girls have already spoken about it, how they always want to play in the lead up to Origin. It's the hardest game they ever play in. They've always talked about that. So to be able to prepare them and have that match fitness behind them, I think has been really important. But like you said, some of the New South Wales girls chose to do that as well, which is, it's been great for us. It's been a really good competition, the B&D Premiership that the girls have been playing in. So, yeah, of course, I love the fact that they came up and increased the quality of the competition, and our girls have had some really good matches under their belt.
And Tani, what did you make of the Sky Blues squad under Kylie Hilder announced yesterday? How surprised were you they left out Jessie Southwell?
Oh, to be honest, yeah, I was really surprised. You know, I've been, and Jessie's one of those that's been playing up here in Queensland competition, and she's been playing some really good footy. So, yeah, I'm really surprised. She's a real talent. She's only young, you know. She's got a lot to learn still in the game. But, yeah, she's been playing some really good footy. So to see her miss out, but understand where, you know, Kylie's gone for that stability in the halves with Rachel Pearson and her kicking game. So, yeah, you know, I don't think Pearson will let her down. So it's just one of those interesting calls that obviously she's made for her own reasons. But, yeah, an interesting decision.
Yeah, and Clarkie mentioned the fact that it's the first time it's a three-game series, Tani. And we know with the men's in a three-game series, the importance of winning game one. And I think the stats, yeah, it's around 75%. If you win game one, you go on and win the series. So how much, you know, focus are you going to put on game one, knowing that you've still got two others to go, though, as well?
Oh, well, that's exactly right. Like, I think game one is so important. And, you know, playing on a home ground as well just brings that all together. But, you know, we need, you know, for me, I just want to win all three. That's just hands down how it is. That's any coach's dream. But, you know, I just want to make sure that we nail it for that game one. And like I said, the girls are match fit, so they're coming off the back of some really, you know, really big games. So I think that puts us in a really good position for the first game, for sure.
You mentioned your ball players. We know how much of a star, you know, Tamika Upton is and Taryn Aiken and Ali Brigginshaw, et cetera. What about someone you've watched who looks really ready amongst your squad to take their game to the next level, perhaps through this series?
Yeah, I think one of our really underestimated players, and to be honest, she won player of the series last year, is Tasman Gray. You know, she's an out-and-out footballer. She's played in the backyard with her brothers. I mean, Jordan plays down at Canberra. So, you know, she's a real footballer, and she's got some capabilities in games that players don't have. She's come from a lot of different positions. She's played 5'8", she's played centre, and she's now in the back row for us. So many different skill sets for a back rower that just really go, you know, they just don't notice how good she actually is. And for her to win the player of the series last year, she thrives on Origin. She loves a big game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do for this year. And, you know, there's a lot of players like Emma Manselman is another one of our young up-and-comers. She got picked for the Gillaroos for the first time last year. And, you know, she's super fast off the bench. So I'm looking forward to seeing her take it to that next level as well.
Tony, what about attitude and the mental side now, obviously, going in reigning champions? Does that change at all for you guys, or is it same?
Oh, look, they know how hard this game is. Like, I think it's one of those things that you never let your guard down and think it's going to be an easy game. It's, you know, we really have to get them up for all three games now, and that's an important piece in itself. But, you know, we brought in Choppy Close last year to talk to the girls, and I think his messaging around the history of the men's game and the hatred towards you Blues, and I'll say that while I'm on here, but he was amazing. Like, the girls just really bought into that, and they understand how important it is to Queenslanders, the state of origin, so they really get it. And you know, I think it's, you don't have to do much on that. Like, that's the good part. It's just getting them up for three really tough games.
Yeah, we always talk about, you know, that origin mentality and the toughness that you had. And I'm interested in your thoughts when you select a side, if it comes down to choosing between one girl or the other, is it talent or effort that you...
Oh, effort, absolutely. I think it's, you know, we've left out players in the past, and I've always said that to the girls. You know, it's you might be the most talented player in the team, but if you don't fit into this and you don't put in and buy into what we're trying to achieve, then there's no point putting in there. So it's an important thing. They've learnt that all the way through, yeah. and that's the whole point. Like they're such a talented group of players, both on the field, but they connect really well off the field as well.
Well, it's going to be a great series, and to get three is just, yeah, it's awesome, and it's a great way to start what's going to be a big weekend in Brisbane next Thursday night. We say good luck, but
yeah,
enjoy.
I don't know what to say.
Enjoy.
You can come say on, good boys. Luck, Loz, and not mean it.
Well, I'll do that then, Pup. Good luck, Tani. Good luck.
Yeah. I hope you guys play well. Just lose by one.
So we appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me, boys. Go quickly.
Cheers. Give us a call. 1353 53 0419 767 272 on the text line. And Wazza from Strathfield said, "Hey, lads, very impressed with the Queensland women's coach, Tani Morris, who we just spoke to. Had not heard her speak before. She was very good. Looking forward to the three-game Origin series, but up the Blues," says Wazza. It was great to speak to Tani just before. And I can't help Loz, the preparation for this game. If you, Kylie Hilda, the New South Wales, the Sky Blues coach, I mean, what's your plan for Tamika Upton? She is a superstar. Watching her play, the way she moves, how natural an athlete she is.
Yeah.
Her explosion off the mark, which reminds a bit of, you know, Reece Walsh. We always talk about how quick he is off the mark. But she would be a nightmare.
Yeah, she's a really good player. If anyone hasn't seen her play and is about to watch her, she's pretty special. Mm. But she's also got a good footy IQ. Mm. From everything that I've seen and watched of her, like, she knows down short sides when to go, pushes through the middle, got a great motor, got plenty of speed, great hands. She's a complete package. So that'll be someone that New South Wales will have to contend with. And obviously, she spoke about Tani, about, you know, having those ball players. Like, they're in a great position that they're able to play Ali Brigginshaw as a 13. Mm-hmm. So that's something that has really worked for them in the past. But yeah, it's just a great squad. They've got some really good players, both teams, obviously. You know, Millie Boyle, for instance. Mm. Millie Boyle up front is very good. But even Emma Tonegado from New South Wales, she's a really good player as well at the back. Mm. So that'll be two battles within the game that you'll be worthwhile seeing.
And great centres, of course. Isabel Kelly, Jess Surgis have been mainstays in that New South Wales.
Isabel Kelly suffered that nasty injury to her throat, I think it was last year.
Yeah. Fractured larynx or something, wasn't it?
It was very significant. Mm. I know that. But she's back, and obviously her and Jess are a couple of strike weapons for New South Wales. But, playing three games this year will be something that they'll really enjoy. And you've got to have a strong squad ready to go in Origin, because you just know that you're going to pick up injuries along the way. Very rarely do you go through a series using the same 17 men or women.
And that's next Thursday night, of course. Just some random texts here. Graham from Foster says he tried DS's scrambled eggs and Vegemite on toast. DS, you are on a winner, unlike your punting. Well, he's coming up soon. Hi, guys. With the weather report, don't start me with this. When they say showers most likely in the morning, afternoon, isn't that all day? Why don't they say possibility of showers all day? Well, yeah, you know what? I don't know. The Bureau of Meteorology does.
Fair point, though, Middo.
I don't know why they don't say that.
I know.
Why they are so specific.
Mate, they're into us about everything today. Someone's into me about, why do I say, when I'm talking about the Melbournes and the Storms. The Melbournes and the Penriths.
Yeah,
let's. I don't like using the S on the
end. Any sniffing messages come in for me today? Normally I'm sniffing too loud.
Jesus, good to have you back, Pup.
Stop sniffling, Michael. Stop sniffling.
Your hair's long.
Yeah, I know. I need a cut
for a while.
I know, buddy. I did have a haircut in India, but I got a little nervous. I just said just a trim. So,
what do you think I was going to do?
What'd you get up to, mate, in your spare time?
There wasn't much spare time for starters, unfortunately. Right. No, I didn't do much. It was all
work, hotel.
Generally, because I did world feet, so on ground, so it was pretty much do a game, fly the next day, do a game, and then I did some studio stuff for Star as well, which is based in Mumbai.
Yep.
So if I got days off on ground commentary, they flicked me to Mumbai and I was doing stuff in studio.
Right. And who are the crew you mainly work with?
It varied. Yep. There's a heap of commentators over there. From Australia, on World Feed, there was myself, Matthew Hayden, what other Aussies? Brett Lee, Shane Watson were in studio.
Just sounds like a cast of thousands. There's like everyone heaps. From around the world. Like every
honestly,
country represented
yeah,
by
Brian
four
Lara
or five.
Was
yep.
there. Kevin Peterson was there. Mate, there's a heap. Nick Knight just arrived when I left. And then there's a heap of Indians as well. Harsha Bogle's there. Sanjay Mandraker.
I'll tell you what I did see. It might have been for the heaps. IPL. It might have been for a test series. Like over here, I don't know whether you get away with it, but they love the sunnies on.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, what's the go there? What's the go there?
So what they do, they're okay with doing interviews with glasses on because the sun's out, which makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, but I've been brought up in this country, if you dare wear sunglasses while you did an interview.
They're telling you to take them off.
Mate, so even like I think I did 3 day games where it was stinking hot, 40 degrees, sun's blaring, and I had to do the pitch report, and they were telling me, Michael, you can keep your glasses on. I'm like, oh, mate, if one of my mates back at home sees me do an interview with sunnies on, that is the last thing. Or if the media sees me do an interview with glasses on, I'll get smoked.
Don't worry, I would have hammered you.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Well, you would have too.
They are comfortable.
Yeah, you would have.
It would have been just a pile.
It would have been a pile on.
Yeah,
they're comfortable with it, but it's... I wouldn't be game, put it that way.
Middo Laws Pub, loving the show this morning. Listening live from beautiful King Island. Get down here, lads, for the Racing Carnival in January. It's one of a kind. Yes, I am told. Laurie at King Island. Good on you, Laurie, for testing in. Off the northwestern tip of Tasmania, I've been told that the races there and the golf there and just a general trip there is outstanding and it's on the bucket list.
Isn't there a good golf course?
Or the
in Tasmania?
What's the one? Barn Bugle.
Yeah, that's the one.
Lost Farm, it's called. It's at the top. It's at
people
sort of
rave
near
about
Devonport.
That,
yeah, I've been there once for $1.
Been there, yeah. A bucks, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that was
code, wasn't it?
That was.
Is that the golf course or Devonport you've been to?
Yeah. Oh, no, hang on. Party. Sorry, that was part
of the
wedding.
So if you're going to a bucks party,
I can't even remember.
But you're saying you're going to a golfing trip away. Surely they know it's a bucks trip.
Cagey.
Yeah.
What sort of golf?
I just went.
I bet you did. You early. Turned up a day early.
that's just code.
Yeah.
Come on. Sensational. It was part of it.
Be brave enough and man enough to own up.
It was part of many activities, Loz.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, highly recommended. Anyway, we got Sean waiting patiently. G'day, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate. What have you got for us?
Mate, you had the coach before for the New South Wales, for the Queensland Women's Origin team. Why don't we play Origin... women and men on the same night? Would that detract the spectacle or make it better? I can think make it better, in my opinion.
No, I think it'd detract.
You reckon?
I think so. I think they need a standalone. Hmm. That's me personally. And I saw the game, the one in Townsville last year, and the crowd that they got there was...
significant.
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm just trying to think where the first one was played. It was down here in Sydney. Might have been at Combank. But certainly the second game, when they won it, there was a decent crowd there. And I think it's only going to get bigger over time, Sean.
Yep.
So I think, it's big enough to stand alone now.
Is there also a perception, Loz, that women's sport in general wants to stand completely on its own two feet
Most definitely. I think that's the
Which
other
is fair
part
enough,
of it.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's their celebration of their origin series. So I think it's become bigger now, and the television numbers support it as well. Like the television ratings for women's football is very good, very strong.
Well, that their game two in Townsville last year, 18,275 was the crowd.
Yeah. That's just there to watch them.
Exactly.
That's big. So now, that's what I mean, Sean. So it's big enough now to be able to stand on its own.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when it first started, it might have been maybe the way that they played before the men's, but now, now I think about it, the majority of the people want to watch it alone.
That's exactly right. Which makes sense, definitely.
No. Oh, good.
Good on you, mate. Sean. Thank you. Just some King Island texts have just come through. There's one on King Island as well. Ocean Dunes, excellent. The Factor. Ocean Dunes, obviously the golf course. Hi, boys. I've been over to King Island removing the wool off sheep. Golf course is unreal. Lost 13 balls in the first six holes. Went to the races as well. It's a must-do, says the Dubbo Eel. Boys, King Island has two of the best courses in the country. Cape Wickham in particular is number one in the country and highly regarded worldwide. Guys, King Island is a must for a boys' trip. I went on a surf trip there a few years back. When the surf isn't on, the golf course is, and the local produce is the best in the country, says Matt. Loz, we've got to get this on the list. Can we do a broadcast there? Go on. Yes, everyone's nodding.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Everyone's nodding,
Ray the Rabbit, how are you, Ray?
Hi, team. How are we?
Yeah, really well. Thanks, mate.
I've actually been to King Island for work for 4 days. It's an amazing place. I didn't get to the races, and I didn't get to the golf course because I was working, but the seafood is amazing. It's incredible. Okay.
Beautiful.
I love Tassie. Tassie is just such
a great place. Yeah, it's awesome.
Agreed. What do you got for us, mate?
Laurie, the other week, last week, you were talking about the Sharks and who's going to lead them. You talk about the soft underbelly, I think Bulldog a bit, and who's going to lead the Sharks. And I was at the 2019 grand final to unfortunately see the Raiders go down. I'm a Bunnies fan, as we know, but I was going for the Raiders that day. But I saw the Sharks, which was the Newtown side, win the 2019 grand final. They won against the Queensland team. And in that side was Will Kennedy, Katoa, Mulitalo, Jack Williams, Trindle, Toby Rudolph, Blake Braley, Teague Wilton, and Sisifo Talakai.
Oh, wow.
So they know how to win a grand final.
Albeit on a different level, but I get your point. I get your point. Well,
they were younger then and they've grown and they're still building a side. Those guys still exist as a team.
Yeah.
So they've got that inner strength that they've grown up with. So they've just, I think it's their time. They've got that side there. So they stand up.
I'll reserve my judgment on the Sharkies because the track record suggests when they get there, over the last couple of years, and I think they've lost their last 9 finals or something. Is that right? Did someone point that out to me too?
Oh,
but definitely the last 2 years, they've gone out straight sets. I've still got the question mark over them, but I want to see what they do in this next period of 5 games because I think if they can come out of it with 3 or 4 victories, that'll set themselves up well, and I could have a different opinion personally on them. But I just want to see how they perform against these higher-ranked teams and the teams that have got good, strong forward packs and just to see how the Sharks match up. Because I look at the Sharkies and I said yesterday to Fitzy, like the bench, I like the makeup of their bench because I think Williams and Talakai and Hamlin, the Ueli, and I know that Hunt, Toby Rudolph, he's not playing this week, but I actually like the grunt coming off the bench. And I think if they start well with that fast-paced team that they've got, because Hazelton's got a bit of speed, Kafusi's got a bit of speed, and Cam McGuinness, they cover the middle well. And then after the game opens up a little bit, you can get those more powerful blokes into the contest. Mm. And I think that's a better combination for the Sharks forward pack at this stage when I'm watching them.
Coming up on Radio Tab, Steve Hewlett. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good morning, Jared. I just thought I'd bring the listeners an update on Sunshine Coast. Murray Weddings, just let me know. It's still a heavy 10, but fortunately, no rain in the past 24 hours. 77 for the week. So it's a heavy 10, but at this stage, plenty of blue sky. So we've got our fingers crossed for the big meeting up there. I'll be doing the show up there tomorrow. Just in regards to guests coming up, I haven't caught up with one of the Taplins. They've got all these tap horses, you know, Tapple Doodle Doo running on the weekend up at the Sunshine Coast, which won last start. They've also got another horse, Tappy's Lad, in that race. So I'm going to speak to either Kerry or her husband, Ian Taplin, about all these horses. They've been here a couple of years now, based at the Sunshine Coast, and doing a damn good job as well. Look, the Tassie Star's heading to the Stratty, the Inevitable. We'll get the latest. He has arrived in Queensland. The horse that's a... He's got a little frame, but this massive engine, hasn't he? The Inevitable. We'll talk about him. Andrew Forsman's heading to Adelaide with a nice filly that's favourite for one of the features there in Positivity. I haven't spoken to Andrew for a while. We'll also get the latest there in SA with Lincoln Moore, our SA correspondent. And also Bill Andrews. So we had him down yesterday, but we'll finally get him today. Reed Tuvalu heading to Queensland, possibly for the Stratty, trained by Lindsay Smith. So that's just coming up in the first hour this morning.
Okay, beautiful stuff. Good on you, Steve.
Thanks.
We'll catch you shortly. DS is joining us as well. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, morning, boys. How are we this morning?
Really well, thanks. We had a caller earlier this morning. His name just escapes me, but he rang up to say that he... Well, firstly, he thought it was me who gave the peanut butter with beetroot on toast culinary, recommendation.
He's a fan, DS. He's a fan.
And I had to point to him that it was you. And he said he really enjoyed it.
I actually heard a mate of mine sent me a text with the audio this morning, and Pup, you're 100% right. You've hit the nail on the head. After a couple of tough days on the punt, all I had in the kitchen was the tin of vegetables, beetroot, and the crunchy peanut butter. And we put it together, but it actually goes all right. But everyone's got their sort of weird,
weird
things they do.
That's one I would never think of.
What about, you must have something, you must enjoy something weird, Pup. Like, there must
What my go-to is when I'm hung?
Yeah.
I love Vegemite and cheese on toast. That's what I'm saying. I don't think I've ever been short enough, even in my cupboard, where I've got a can of beetroot left over and peanut butter. Yeah, I don't think I've ever got, like, if I've got bread, surely I've got Vegemite there.
It's got to be the Wonder White too, not this flash artesian bread from these bakeries.
What about the multigrain? Any good?
Yeah, the multigrain.
You just feel a bit healthy if you go to the multigrain.
100%, yeah, the multigrain, the wholemeal, way you go. It's not the same, is it? Not the same.
Not the same, do you?
But that's it. Well, there you go. John's tried. And was John, did he rate it?
Yeah, he was a fan. He did, yeah.
There you go. Righto. Give it a crack. Sure, you know what? I should make him one day. Maybe tomorrow, because we're at Gosford tomorrow. But I'll make them one day, Loz. You can try them, because I heard that you wanted to try them. So
yeah, I'm going to have to try it.
Is it bread or toast?
Toast. It's got to be toast.
It's
got
to be soggy bread.
Yeah, toast. Toast, bit of butter. It's got to be the Western Star butter. You know, the real hard one that breaks the bread. Puts the holes in. Then put your Edgell's beetroot on, and then some crunchy peanut butter. Remember the Western Star butter?
Yeah, I do.
And you'd get the fresh bread.
Stop putting it in the fridge, mate. It goes like concrete.
No, I know that. But, you know, and then they put in that Tupperware container. What was that glass sort of container that they had? Actually, I was talking about this with a mate the other day. I don't know if with our grandparents. But remember, they would have bread with everything. Remember, you'd sit down at the table.
Yep. Mate, I still have bread with everything. And in particular, gravy. I've got to clean the plate up.
Yeah, that's
great. Mop your spag bowl up with it as well.
Yes, how good. And just this tower of white bread was just always on the table with the salt and pepper. And what about the salt and pepper? Everything had salt and pepper. Like, there was already 1,000 kilos of salt in it. The veggies were boiled away. You couldn't taste the veggies, but salt and pepper, get it on your plate. Hey, this morning on the program, when it comes, it's just memories. Sterling Alexu, Chris Roots, Mick Kent Jr., Bjorn Baker, Matt Smith, and Scott Collings. Apparently, the moment, Gosford's looking A-OK, boys. So I know that obviously the weather report doesn't look great, but they're right to go. They haven't had as much yesterday as expected. They haven't had anything this morning. And fingers crossed they don't get anything later today or tomorrow. And yeah, tomorrow morning, myself and Luke will be Marlowe at the Gosford RSL. They've got a massive new sports bar and tab area. And we're going to be there live tomorrow for HQ promoting the Big Coast meeting.
Probably go out at Troppo, I guess, tomorrow night too, will you?
Oh, Club Troppo.
Come on, Clark, you would have been at Troppo.
Wow.
I've heard people talk about it. What is
Troppo? Troppo was just at the Leagues Club across the road from the stadium, wasn't it? Is that the one?
I can't remember. I'm not talking about it.
I know they had a reunion, because I remember having Dan Lacey and the team on. They had a Club Troppo reunion a couple of years ago. in 2023. And they had the original Troppo they DJs. And it was a something, what was it, the Rewind Room or something?
Well, you're not going to believe this.
I think it closed down.
There's one, is it the 18th of May? No.
Or is it back open?
No, it's the 9th
next,
of May.
Next Saturday.
Oh, let's go, Middo.
There's a Club Troppo reunion at Drifter's Wharf.
Another one.
Yeah, there's another one. For one night only.
That's all you'll need.
Original Troppo DJs.
It's a day nighter, so it's counted as two.
8:30 till late.
Oh, can dress you imagine?
Like, and it says, I found the official invite here. Dress like you did back then.
Oh, heyday. Jeez. Bootleg jeans.
Institution on the Central Coast from 92 to 2006.
How far are they going back? What type of, what year reunion?
Yeah, what would you wear? Get well, that 92, vest
you
out,
you couldn't need the bootleg or the flared jeans, Loz.
Get the Levi's with the leather vest.
No, it wasn't.
You might
leather.
Go double denim daily.
Double
denim. Double denim.
Did the double denim.
White Levi's t-shirt tucked in.
Oh, yeah. The John,
you know what? You could pull that off daily. You could.
Yeah.
The double denim.
Double denim, white t-shirt tucked in.
Yeah.
There'd have to be a
high pants.
We'd have to have a listener or two going to this. Please report back after.
You know the best thing about this? You know the best thing about just talking
about... We'll be
coming
from Scone.
The double denim with Loz. Pup, the best thing about just talking about the double denim with Loz is he's just reminiscing now. That's what I love about Loz. Loz, just as soon as he mentions something like that, he just transcends back to the early 90s, 80s. Brain. And he just goes, geez, I was dominant. I was dominant. See you, boys.
Bye-bye.